It is my privilege to be this week God's servant in your behalf. And one of these days, when we shall be with him, we will both rejoice because we have gathered unto himself. I am not here to convey any brilliance that I have in the Word of God. I am not here to convey elocution as a speaker. I am here as a servant of Jesus Christ the Lord in your behalf. You are so precious to him that if I veer in any way from that which prompts the Spirit of God to convey to your heart, I will be answerable at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this evening, will you turn with me to John, the 8th chapter? We shall read from verses 38 to 45. John chapter 8, verses 38 to 45. We read as follows: I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Is it not because you refuse to hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Shall we pray? Again, our Father, we thank thee for a revelation of thyself, and also a revelation of him who opposes and exalts himself, and who is thine implacable enemy, and yet who was defeated at the cross. Our Father, we pray thee that as we stand on ground that is very shaky, and where the attack of the enemy may be so prevalent, yet we pray that in the closing days of this dispensation of grace, we might realize the why and the wherefore of all that is lawless and contrary to God. Protect thy servant by thy power, and may thy Spirit give unction and anointing, and open the hearts and the minds of thy people, that they might realize what great salvation has been wrought in their behalf. We ask it, our Father, in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read this block of Scripture, especially in verse 44, we notice two things about the devil: that he is bent on deceiving, and he is bent on destroying. We read here he was a murderer. There is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it. Therefore, this evening we want to see what the Word of God has to say as to why, in the last 10 years especially, has lawlessness been so rampant, and why amongst God's people so many broken homes, marriages, so many children rising up against parents, so much affliction, so much heartbreak, so many tears. Why so quickly is our world being invaded as it is now? In the beginning, Satan tried to do something concerning the seed of the woman. And therefore, in the Old Testament, he is rarely mentioned by his name, probably 4 times, and that is all. Just before the Son of God was to come into this world, and when he finally came into the world, all the satanic and demonic forces were at full sway. Then, toward the end of this age, when Satan knows that his doom is near, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, his activity is quite noticeable. It's strange that the world at large knows more about Satan and has given themselves over to the worship of Satan than God's people know about him. And therefore, I am leaving myself exposed when, according to the Word of God, I expose him who is our implacable enemy and the enemy of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ his Son. Concerning deception and concerning destruction, because of deception, the fall of man was a fall out of the embrace of God into the embrace of the wicked one. Will you turn with me to 1 John the 5th chapter and verse 19. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. And in 1 John 5:19, we have that truth before us. Verse 18 tells us this: we know that whosoever is born of God does not make a practice of sinning, but he that is begotten of God is constantly keeping himself, or is being kept, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we believers know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the embrace of the wicked one. The whole world is lying in the embrace of the wicked one. Therefore, when man hath sinned, again I repeat, he got out from the embrace of God into the embrace of Satan himself. God owns this world, but Satan is the god of this world. And he has built up a world system to the extent that deception and destruction are his two tools with which to bring men into hell. Will you turn with me to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter? And in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, we notice something of prominence there. In verse 12, we read, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." And then I want you to notice verse 16. "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they were filled, or they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic." And in the world eternity past, somewhere there at a point of time, there was Lucifer, the high priest of God, who led the whole angelic host to the praise and the worship of God. Seeing this, his heart was lifted up with pride. He wanted to be like God. He wanted the worship that belonged to him. And when the word traffic is mentioned in the Hebrew, it means he peddled. And what did he peddle? He peddled merchandise. What merchandise did he peddle? It was this: the merchandise that Lucifer had was that amongst the lesser angels, he tried to secure their allegiance to his philosophy of being independent from God and being like God. Therefore, that was the merchandise. His philosophy was the merchandise that he peddled amongst the lesser angels, lesser than himself. And the Word of God tells us in the book of the Revelation that with his tail he drew a third of the stars of heaven, and he pulled them down and they rebelled with him. What is the essence of sin? The essence of sin is a desire to be independent of God and to be like God. And the very thing that he trafficked with or peddled in heaven, that philosophy of independence apart from God and being like God, he peddled upon the earth in the Garden of Eden. And he told the woman that if she would only eat thereof, she would be like God, independent of God, for God is dependent on no one. He is powerful in himself. He is almighty. He is everlasting. And whatever thing he peddled, he never told the angelic host who fell with him that he was absolute in his character, holy, righteous, and all the attributes that make up the character of God. And when Eve heard that philosophy, she not only ate thereof, but her husband who was with her, she gave him to eat, and he ate thereof. And whereas they wanted to be like God, to be independent as God, and independent of God, they began to realize that they had fallen indeed. Satan's strategy is ever the same. And how does he work? The method that he uses are twofold, as I mentioned. He either deceives or he destroys. Those are the only two methods that he used from the moment he was created in the far, far ages of eternity back to the time when at last he will be done for once and for all. These are the only two weapons that he uses. He uses the corruption of truth, that is deception. And then he also uses violence of action or destruction. If he cannot deceive, he will try to destroy. If he cannot destroy, he will go back to deceiving. And if these cannot work apart from one another, he will finally combine both methods in order to destroy the individual or individuals. Now let us go back. And let us go through the panorama from the creation of man, oh, even beyond the millennium, and see if these methods are true of him. From the fall of Adam to the call of Abraham, Satan's method was to corrupt the truth, to deceive. That is why when the Lord spoke to the church of Thyatira, if you will turn to Revelation, the third chapter, you will notice what he says there to them. And in the second chapter, verse 18, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, which indicates indignation, and his feet are like fine brass, which indicates judgment. I know thy works, and thy love, and thy service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Look at verse 24. "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, I will put upon you none or other burden." So, beloved, right from the beginning, from the fall of man to the call of Abraham, deception, the corruption of truth was Satan's method. And if you return to Romans, the first chapter, you will notice in Romans chapter 1 that when God gave a revelation of himself to man in his creation, verse 25 tells us they changed the truth of God. They exchanged the truth of God in order to believe a lie. And who was behind it all? Satan was behind it all to deceive men that there was no God in the creation which they had seen, and so used a world system that he built up through man's heart's desire that they forgot God, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and at the same time, he was trying not only to corrupt the truth, he was trying to corrupt the godly seed. Having seen that, let us go to the next stage. From Abraham, from the call of Abraham, to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his having come into the world, what was his method? He let go of the method of deception, and he uses the method of destruction. Again, as I mentioned this morning, when Sodom and Gomorrah were attacked, or Sodom was attacked by the kings that came against it, and took Lot, and took other souls, and took the goods, Abraham went after them, delivered Lot from the enemy and all the possessions. And Melchizedek said to Abraham, "Abraham, the Most High God preserved you physically from being destroyed. He hath given thine enemies into thy hand." And there we see that Satan, if he could have at that time, as we read the account of the encounter between Melchizedek and himself, that Abram could have been destroyed, but it was God who delivered him and gave Abram's enemies into his hands. Why try to destroy Abraham? For the reason that the promised seed was to come from him. Then from Abraham, when Abraham could not be destroyed, God made another promise. He made a promise to David. He made an unconditional promise first to Abraham that from his loins shall come forth a seed. Then he made another unconditional covenant with David that from his loins there would be someone to sit on the throne until finally his greatest son, the Messiah, shall sit upon the throne of David. Now what did Satan try to do? Satan tried to destroy David. First, he tried to destroy him through Saul. And you remember the account, how once with a javelin, and at other times through other means, Saul tried to destroy David. Then Saul, not succeeding, Satan raised up or took hold of Absalom. And Absalom tried to destroy David. Why try to destroy Abraham? Why try to destroy David? For this reason, and it's found in Matthew. Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse 1. The book of the generation of whom? Right. The son of whom? The son of whom? That is why Satan was using the method of destruction to do away with Abraham, and when that failed, he went after David. And yet God preserved both Abraham and David because he made an unconditional covenant with both men. And finally, the seed came. And when the seed did come, what was he bent on? The same method. If he could not destroy Abraham, if he could not destroy David, he was bent on destroying the Lord Jesus Christ. Along that line, turn with me to Matthew, the second chapter. And in the second chapter of Matthew, look at verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to do what? Destroy him. To destroy him. But look at the 12th chapter. And in chapter 12, we notice chapter 12 and verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Now the Pharisees, in their fallen natures, felt that they were acting of their own desire and will with no one prompting them and moving them. And yet behind all this desire to destroy him, there was Satan himself working behind the scenes for the destruction of the Son of God. When you turn again to Matthew, the 27th chapter, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 20, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Might I say, child of God, perhaps you know it, but it always helps to have our memories refreshed. What is happening in the world? What is happening in our country? What is happening amongst movements of various kinds, one against the other? It's not due to a clash of personalities, not due so much to a clash of governments, not due to various different philosophies, but it is the greatest and the first sinner of all. Satan is behind it all. And so we see this. Now, having seen from Abraham to the Lord Jesus Christ, he changed his method from deception to destruction. So from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus to the end of the age of grace, Satan goes back to his former method of deceiving. Will you turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter? Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, we notice in verses 24 through 28, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. And might I say, never in the 42, almost 43 years that I have known the Lord Jesus Christ as my Messiah, my Savior, my Lord, never have I seen so much mixture between Christians and the world and their religion as in this day in which we are living. Never. And it's going to grow and grow until finally the ecumenical church will come to the fore, even as the common market has come to the fore. I believe that all the nations of the Asian nations of the world will band together, the kings of the East. I believe others will band together in the north and in the south and in the west. I believe they're all afraid of this common market. Russia is afraid of the power therein that she might be a lesser power. The United States feels the same way. Other countries are afraid of the common market. And because of fear, it will band them together. And so, as we saw in the valley of Jehoshaphat, as we saw there where the great battle is going to take place. Therefore, what we are finding in these days is an admixture. Never have I seen so much mixture as it is in this day. That is why it's such a rare commodity to be able to sit and hear someone expound the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Very rare. And you have a privilege here. And may this God-given privilege be taken advantage of, that it might lead to a life of godliness in the mixture of hot and cold, lukewarmness. Again, I want you to notice, not only do we see a corruption or deception of the truth as the wheat and the tares, but turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. In Matthew, chapter 24, we notice verses 11 to 13. and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax bold. Not at all shall wax cold. And do you know what my battle is? As I see this mixture, and as it creeps into the assemblies, as it is creeping into the other churches, as I see Bishop Sheehan in the First Baptist Church, in the First Presbyterian Church in Orlando, and the exchange of allowing all this mixture to take place, I am beginning to say to myself, what is wrong with me? There must be something wrong, because the young people who are going off in these various movements, where the character of God, the person of God, does not lead to a holy walk and worship, but almost a lawlessness to the older generation, and all they are concerned about is the lost. As far as the lost are concerned, the Spirit of God is the only one who saves the soul. But as far as the believer is concerned, he is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a mixture, and I say to myself, what can I preach? What can I teach? Who will listen to me? And yet, I live in the light of the fact that I'm to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of that stewardship that has been entrusted to me. It's a mixture. And sometimes my heart grows cold and terror strikes within me. And I have to fall on my face before the Lord, who picked me literally out of the gutter, sleeping in cellars at night, and the daytime panhandling for food, that somebody might buy me some food. I was a derelict. And the fact that I knew that he did for me what I did enables me to stand against all this modern movement that would move me, if possible. Child of God, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Now again, we notice false prophets, and these are coming in Jesus' name. Women rising up, great movements, people are flocking to them. And I use the name of Jesus, and I give all the credit to him. But I think of that scripture, they shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name did all these things? And he shall say, I never knew you, depart from me. So they use Jesus' name for all that they are perpetrating. Who is doing all this in this day in which we are living, where the age is coming to a close? Look at Revelation, the 12th chapter. And in Revelation, chapter 12, I want you to notice in verse 9, he who is not seen, who works behind the scenes, who is moving and working because he knows his time is short. Verse 9 tells us, and the great dragon was cast out. He is called that old serpent. He's also called the devil and Satan, which does what to the whole world? Deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his fallen angels were cast out with him. Having seen that he goes from destruction back to the method of deception, soon the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and those who died in Christ,
they shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another. But what is left for the world from the time of the rapture to the time of the tribulation, Satan, seeing that deception couldn't work as he wanted it, and he saw that destruction didn't work as it should, and realizing that he went back to deception, and that the Lord God will enable his people from being deceived, he now combines both destruction and deception. He binds them together from the time of the rapture to the time of the tribulation. Turn with me to Revelation, the 13th chapter. Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation 13, I want you to notice the scriptures from the third verse. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who was able to make war with him? Now, how is all this brought about, that the world will worship the beast? They shall give him honor. Verse 14. And he deceiveth them. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. Therefore, in verse 14 and verse 15, we see a combination of deception. And when that does not work with some, he will use destruction. He will kill them. He was a murderer. He was a deceiver from the beginning. Look at the 18th chapter of Revelation. And in the 18th chapter of Revelation, we have something here that is a warning to each of us. But here it's after the Lord takes his own. And after he takes his own, we read in verse 9, And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The common market, with its gathering of nations, is for the purpose of unifying themselves so that in Europe will be the control of materialism and great wealth. And the Roman Empire, so to speak, is revived, not only this time for militaristic reasons, to gather up more countries and be king over the earth, but for materialistic reasons. And God will send his judgment upon them. But I want you to notice verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense, and wine and oil and fine flour, and wheat and beasts and sheep, and horses and chariots. Why all this list? For Satan, behind the whole materialistic concept of the world system, it is Satan who, through these things, controls the bodies and the souls of men so that they might wind up in hell apart from salvation. For toward the end of verse 13, and sheep and horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. In other words, the whole materialistic concept as that Satan uses is that the body might be given over to the possession of things so that the soul might be corrupted thereby and finally be separated from God eternally. Now I want you to notice, from the end of the millennium to the new heavens and the new earth, Satan goes back to deception. During the millennium, there will be propagation. Children will be born. The sacrifices will be there, not as a sacrifice for their sins, but as a memorial of Him who died for their sins, the King. And no matter where they are, that memorial will remind them that He died for their sins. There was only one Passover for Israel in Exodus, the 12th chapter. The other ones were to be memorials of that one Passover. So in the millennium, it will be memorial sacrifices for the one who died for sinners, and that they are to look to Him. In this kingdom, the world system will not be there. In this kingdom, there will be nothing to prompt the sin nature that man will be born with to commit sin. For the King of righteousness shall enforce judgment immediately as sin rears its head. So not having a world system, and no one to prompt their sin nature, for Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Therefore, out of fear, will they worship the King. But I want you to notice the deception and Satan's final doom in Revelation, the 20th chapter. It's 25 off. Can I have a few more minutes? Raise your hand. Thank you. I want you to notice right here the deception on Satan's final doom from the end of the millennium to the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation, the 20th chapter. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for Jesus. And it says toward the end of the verse, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But look at verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out with what method? He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Having given this picture of Satan's methods from the time that he was created to the time of the end of the millennium, you and I are to be made aware of the fact that he is still our implacable enemy. He will use various methods to deceive. He will attack the mind. He will attack the body. He will deceive because the truth and that which is not truth seems to be so similar, because Christ's name is used, and to be able to deceive us even as in the church of Thyatira. And beloved, let us remember this. We can quote from now to doomsday that Satan should flee from us. But quoting it from now to doomsday, he will never do it until the first admonition is obeyed. Therefore, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. And beloved, if ever the church has lived in an age where she has to be on the alert to submit herself to God because of all the forces of darkness that is gathering itself up into one ugly bombardment until the Lord comes, it's this age. Therefore, he will not flee from us until we submit unto God. And may the Lord help us, shall we pray. We thank thee for thy word, what thy servant is in store for, only thou knowest. And because thou hast enabled me to be faithful, to give this part of thy word to thy people, that they might be warned, that their love might not wax cold, protect thy servant, be his mainstay, that he might continue to glorify the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask it, our Father, in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Amen.